Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
And thank you, Dan, for bringing us in here. I'm here with Mark Halleck. Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's up, man?
Glad to have you here on this latest edition of Revitalize and Replant podcast. If you've tuned in by mistake looking for another podcast, we'll stay right here.
We're not going anywhere.
No, and we do have weather and traffic on the 8s.
On
so
the 8s.
We'll let you know what the weather and traffic is in your town on the 8s.
Listen, since nobody knows what you're talking about, how old were you when you used to do... Because weren't you a DJ or something?
Oh,
I mean, I know we know Hurst was.
Yeah, Hurst
was. But you were too, right?
A little bit of a, yeah, back in college, I was a disc jockey on an afternoon Southern gospel, country gospel, bluegrass gospel radio station.
Did you like it? I can only imagine.
I did like it. Being a DJ is great for an introvert because you don't have to talk to anybody face to face. You're just in a room all by yourself. And then I was also the program director of our radio station on our college campus.
Really?
That's a whole other story for another day.
That's incredible.
So I was a radio station. It was KWPB, William Jewell College in Liberty, Missouri.
Are there any tapes of that?
Oh, I probably are.
I'd love to hear
Probably are.
We need to get, Kyle, we need to get some recording of that, and we need to like...
They probably are.
We need a clip.
I was a DJ.
Oh, that's right.
So we had weather and traffic on the 8s.
On the 8s.
All right, here we go.
Now this is a tough topic.
This is a hard topic. It's one that I would rather not talk about because it's incredibly convicting to me. All right? It really is. This is from Chuck Lawless, 11 Reasons Church Leaders Struggle with Prayer.
And can I just say this before we jump in? I think this is convicting for all of us on some level. I know it is for me as well. Especially if you're the kind of leader who, we talked about busyness a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
We're busy, busy, busy. Well, oftentimes, the number one thing to get drowned out with a busy pastor is the topic we're talking about. It's prayer.
You know, I'm thinking about my grandfather, my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather, Jesse Benton Harris. He was basically illiterate most of his life. His wife, Mary, finally taught him somewhat to read. But as a farmer preacher, she would read the Bible to him, and then he would come up with a sermon from what she read because he was pretty much illiterate early in his life. Eventually, he learned to read and write a little bit. But he was a farmer and a preacher. And so, you know, he would farm a little bit, a little sort of a hard scrapple farm, with a mule, pulling a plow and all that. And then they would come into their house that evening, and it was only by lantern light. They didn't have electricity back then. And she would read the scripture to him, and he would work. There was no radio. There was no television. There was no internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they did have more time to think about the Lord and to pray.
Mm.
You think about the difference between that culture and our culture.
Oh, yeah.
Commuting home from work, walking in the door, immediately you've got all kinds of things going on, all kinds of activities, all kinds of noise. You're busy right up to the end. You've got your phone in your hand. You've got the computer screen on. You've got the television on. There's a game to watch. So much. And I'm just thinking it is harder, I believe, in this culture.
Yeah.
To find time to pray. I'm thinking, again, my grandparents, it was quiet at the house. There was nothing else to do. You didn't even have radio. And they would sit around and sing sometimes, and they would pray, and they would read the scripture. So I think it makes it even harder in our culture today is what I'm saying. So here's 11 reasons why we struggle with it, especially as leaders. Number one, this is so good. Leaders are fixers by nature. We are problem solvers. We seek solutions. Mm. We attempt answers. We want to try again, and if the first answer doesn't work, we try another one. Our persistency and tenacity is to do so. These are both good traits, but they can also push prayer as a last resort or a last option.
See, and I think that's an important thing. It's a good thing. This isn't a bad thing.
No.
But it can become a bad thing, right? When it pushes prayer as a last resort option.
When we want to be a fixer, a problem solver, and deal with the answer, and we just get in there and start to do it without, you know, Henry Blackaby famously said, you know, it's always said, don't just sit there, do something. And that's kind of what this is talking about, right?
Yeah.
Henry would say, and he would get criticism for it, but Henry didn't care that he got criticism for it. But Henry would say, if you haven't gotten a word from the Lord, don't just do something, sit there. And there's some wisdom in that.
Yeah.
Just simply being active to be active isn't good. You've got to hear from the Lord first.
Well, and I've heard it said, in our NAM circles, we talk about how it's not just praying before the work, but prayer is the work.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
And so, yeah, anyway, so I think that's so true. Leaders are fixers by nature. Here's number two. We never learned how to pray.
Because we were never shown how to pray in church.
Wow.
I mean, it's so obvious.
Isn't that true, too?
How do we teach people in church to pray?
Yeah.
I mean, often the only prayers they hear in church a lot of times is the offertory prayer, and you and I could say it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, bless the gift and the giver. Yeah. Be with our pastor and the missionaries all around the world. Thank you for this day and everything you've given us. I mean, and even the pastoral prayer is something very similar to that oftentimes. Yeah. It's like, where is the real...
If there's even a pastoral prayer,
yeah. Where is the real modeling for our people what prayer really is? Even if we say, Pastor, would you lead us in prayer before we have our meal? It's a very short, perfunctory thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody, you want to close in prayer for our Sunday school class? Where have we been taught to pray, Mark?
I know, it's true. Which is why, honestly, I'm sitting here thinking, listen, Pastor, right now, schedule a class or a seminar or something you're going to teach your church just focused on how to pray. Don't assume your people have been taught how to pray.
No, and something very simple like this. You know, tell them to take a hymnal. If you don't know what a hymnal is?
I've heard of them.
Okay, well, they're still around some places. They're coming back, by the
way. Actually, I love them.
They're making a return.
I love hymnals, actually.
And as the Lord allows, I'm planning to kind of start a new church this fall, and we're going to sing only out of hymnals.
I love it. I wish I could come.
We're not going to have any video on the screen or anything. We're going to only sing out of hymnals.
Straight up hymnals.
But take a hymnal and take any one of those hymns. And I encourage people, this is one way you can learn to pray more than just the perfunctory, now I lay me down to sleep. You read a line of that hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Mm. And you stop and you thank the Lord for the truth in that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Mm. You thank the Lord for the truth in that. And if that truth doesn't apply to you, you ask him to make it apply to you. You can pray through a hymn
That's really good. I love it.
Of course, you can pray through scripture too.
Yep.
Certain psalms and all. Some scriptures would be harder to pray through than others.
Yeah.
We won't go there. Yeah. But hymns are great for doing
that. That's great. I know, it's a great idea.
Just teaching people how you can spend 30 minutes in prayer. You ask most people to spend 30 minutes in prayer, they don't have a clue what to do.
They don't know what to do.
Right.
That's really
good. So we've never taught people how to pray. Number three.
Prayer has become more about ritual than about a relationship.
Well, we talk about that all the time. Our public prayer on Sunday morning is part of a ritual. We pray as a transition between the singers getting off the stage and the preacher coming up on the stage. Mm-hmm. We pray before the offering. We pray at the conclusion. It is very much more of a ritual than it really seems to be something that is personal and relational.
Yeah. The living God that you get to. This is where, man, I just pray, Clifton, that we never lose that childlike faith and joy in the Lord, that we get to come to our Heavenly Father. We get to pray. We get to fellowship with him.
You know, I years ago, there was something called Lay Witness Mission, and then Southern Baptist got a hold of it, and they called it Lay Renewal. They kind of changed it a little bit. But those of you who are over 50, you know what I'm talking about. These were weekends where lay people would go to other churches for a weekend and basically do a revival led by lay people for lay people, hence the word Lay Renewal.
Yeah, right? Sure.
And I would go. I was a teenager, and they actually had a component for teenagers, and I would lead the teenager part. And I know as a young teenager, the thing that motivated me the most, changed my life the most about those lay renewal weekends was not the laymen and laywomen who would lead Bible studies. The women would lead the Bible studies, the women and the men for the men. They were good. But what really changed my whole life, and to this day, some of the sweetest things I can remember, is those lay folks would get into a group, into a circle, and they would engage in what they would call conversational prayer. Mm-hmm. And what that meant is they would spend an hour, it was like seven or eight people, and we would just, as though we were having a conversation with the Lord. And someone would just pray one line, and then somebody pray another line, and someone would pray something else, and someone pray something else. And it became very heartfelt, and it wasn't formulaic, and it was very relational. Mm. And you got the feeling that the Lord was really right there among us.
Yeah.
And someone wasn't starting a prayer, going through a whole thing, concluding it, but it was sort of sentence prayers, one after another, all in one big conversation. It's hard for me to explain really what that meant.
I love it.
But what was real to me as a teenager was the relationship relationship these people had with Christ in a group as they prayed, you almost had to open your eyes and think, is he sitting right there?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. When's the last time someone had that in a prayer meeting, or we have these prayers where it's sort of formulaic and we sort of, you know, I think that's what we're talking about.
Dude, that's so good.
Number
man.
Four.
I love that. Okay, number four is this. Prayerlessness can be hidden.
That's my problem.
And he writes this. Lawless says, we can talk about prayer.
That's me.
Teach about prayer.
I can do that.
Write about prayer.
I've done that.
And even lead corporately in prayer.
Did it on Sunday.
All without anyone knowing that personal prayer is sporadic at best.
That's me.
That's convicting.
I'm not bragging about that, and I'm not
I think that's,
being joking about that. I looked at that number four, and I thought, man, he had me in mind when he wrote that. And you know
why
what?
Why is it so? Why?
I'm not the only pastor who does that.
No, you're not. That's right.
Let's be honest, pastor.
We can all fall into this.
And some of us fall into it more than others. You can talk about prayer. You can teach prayer. You can encourage prayer. You can even lead corporate prayer. And no one really knows how sporadic and uneven your prayer life really is.
Yep.
Oh, man, prayerlessness can be hidden. That is so true.
Yeah, it is.
And
something we need to be honest about.
It is. Number five, we really don't believe prayer works.
Man, no church leader I know would teach that prayer is ineffective. Nevertheless, our prayer life often suggests otherwise.
Sure. Because if we thought it worked, we'd do it more.
Yeah.
If we thought it really worked, it'd be the thing we'd put most of our energy in.
Yeah, that's right.
We love, in North America, we love things that work.
Yeah.
If we hear about a church growth plan that worked down the road, man, we're going to work that.
That's
if
right.
we hear about a youth program that worked over here, or a kids program, or a backyard Bible club, or a block party that worked, man, here's something we're going to do. Prayer works.
Yeah.
We don't do it.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, let's be honest, we really don't believe it does.
Well, this is where I often think about in the Gospels, I'm trying to remember on top of my head, the Father, I believe, who said, Lord, help my, I believe.
Yeah, my belief. That's my life verse.
But
someone came to me the other day and said, look, if you've asked me to do this, I will do it. It makes me uncomfortable. But someone asked me to sign their Bible. Anybody ask you to sign their Bible?
I don't know if I've had that.
Yeah, I had that. And so I've had it a few times. And in addition to my wife. No, that's a joke. Jill's never asked me to sign her Bible.
Well, hold on real quick. Like an autograph? Like they want your autograph in
their
Bible? There's
some people that, they've heard you preach. They've heard you preach. And the people they've heard preach.
They might just
they
say,
would
hey,
like
would
you
to
say,
okay.
would you sign? There's
okay, gotcha.
In the back of their Bible.
Okay.
They kind of have the name of the different
okay,
preachers
gotcha.
They've heard throughout the years.
Okay.
So I signed right between Billy Graham and John MacArthur.
Sure, right there.
No, I didn't.
Clifton.
I don't know who was there. Anyway, would you sign my Bible? I'm a little uncomfortable, but I was okay. So I sign it, and then they say, "Would you put a life verse on there?" I remember one time someone asked Sproul to do that, and I don't remember the exact verse, but there's a verse in the Old Testament where God tells he tells Abraham to take the animals and split them in two, their carcasses. And then walk between the dead carcasses. And that's, he said
Sproul
that.
Sproul
put that in there. Because he said, actually, it is my life verse, because God is saying, if I don't keep my covenant with you, what has happened to these animals will happen to me.
Right.
But just to read it, it's like, so Sproul put that in his life verse. I wanted to put it as my life verse. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
By the way, since we're wasting time here, these people have nothing better to do. There's a pastor who passed away not too long ago. Some of you know who he is. I won't give his name. I won't do that. But he's a lot of fun. He was
okay.
a whole lot of fun.
Okay.
But he was doing a revival for my dad one time.
Yeah.
And this lady came forward and she got down on her knees and she was crying. So this pastor went down and he dealt with her. And when he got up, he had the most frustrated look on his face. I was sitting on the second row and I was a teenager and I noticed it. And so did my dad. So when we got through, my dad and I went up to listen too, and I said, what? He said, she came down, she was crying because her dog died. Her poodle died today.
Oh,
and she was wanting to know, will her poodle be in heaven?
Yeah.
And I was kind of listening. How would you answer that?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
lady's really broken up,
sure,
right?
Totally, yeah.
And this was the last night of the revival. Are you ready for this?
Oh, no.
So he lived in Florida, so he was flying from Missouri back to Florida. He'd never see this lady again.
Okay.
So he said he told her to go home and look up a book, a verse. He wrote down a verse in Revelation
oh, no.
for her to look up. And the bird said, oh, no. Outside the gates of heaven are evil men and dogs.
No way.
I'm not kidding.
Pastors.
I'm not kidding. Where did we go off with that? How did we get there?
What not to do to comfort to a mourning.
How did we even get there?
Well, listen, I know where we're at. Interrupted me. So here's what I was trying to say, because the fifth point was, we don't really believe prayer works. And
that's,
I was thinking,
right.
You know what? I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I actually think it's a great prayer.
Oh, okay. I believe.
Lord, I believe. That is, that's right. Help me to. Right. Help my unbelief,
and
Lord,
you know, in all seriousness,
to trust
is,
you, to trust your sovereignty, to trust that you do answer prayer, and he does answer prayer.
And that
always.
Is kind of my life verse.
That's right.
I mean, I do believe it helped my unbelief.
Okay, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get.
Sorry.
No, you're great. I'm going to get this train back on.
Kyle says
here we go.
Have to
number
hurry.
Six. Listen, we have never.
You liked the story, though.
We always agree. It was one heck of
it's
a story.
The only thing they'll remember about
that's
this
right.
podcast.
Yeah. Yep. Sadly,
is the poodle we, outside the gates of heaven.
It's tough to forget. We have never been broken under God's hand. Okay, that's number six.
This is another
reason why we struggle to pray.
Right.
The Apostle Paul, who was a leader extraordinaire, learned the power of strength and weakness, right? 2 Timothy 12, it's in our weakness that we learn how to pray, but leaders naturally fight against weakness.
Actually, we don't want to show that kind of weakness.
That's right.
We can do this. We can handle it.
We can handle it.
We don't need to be broken. We don't need to be weak.
Which is a lie.
Which is a lie.
Which is a lie. Here's
that's
number
right.
seven. Leaders read the word in a one-sided way.
What's that mean?
That's interesting. He says leaders are often teachers who read the word for information transmission more than life transformation.
Okay.
When we approach the word that way, we miss the opportunity to be in dialogue with God. That's true.
Guilty.
Yeah.
I mean, I will sit down, and you will too, Pastor. You know what I'm talking about. You'll look at a text and go, this is how my people need to hear this.
Yep.
And actually, it's this is how I need to hear this.
Yep.
Right?
Here's one, yeah, we need to. This is one that I think we both experienced, and I think there are some listening who are right now. Number eight, some leaders have simply lost hope.
Yep.
It happens. Church leaders who prayed more consistently in the past sometimes lose hope under the weight of church conflict, of family struggles, of health concerns.
Yep.
And unanswered prayer leads to faithlessness, which leads to prayerlessness.
I think every year you need to do at least one sermon on the widow who would not leave the guy alone, the persistent widow who just kept coming and coming
over and
coming
over, and
over,
and over
and over and over. And really, that's what we're supposed to do in prayer. And I know if you've prayed for that unsaved loved one for 20 years, if you've prayed for those issues in your life for 15 years, your children who are reprobate for a decade— I know how that can seem so at times futile to do that, but the Lord tells us to continue to pray.
That's right.
And we need to show and model that for our people.
Amen. Number nine, we miss the gospel focus on the prayer life of Jesus.
Mm.
A seminary professor challenged me, Lawless says, to read the gospel of Luke with this focus in mind, and my prayer life has never been the same. And he challenges us to do
so. Look
the
at
same.
The Gospels at how many times Jesus prayed,
yeah.
and how he needed to pray, and how
yes.
important prayer was to him. And then think about how little you and I, as pastors, pray. And look at the passion in his prayer.
Right.
And what was it that he asked those disciples to do? Will you come and pray with me? I mean, why would he do that if he didn't believe prayer was important and their prayer was needful?
Yeah.
And when's the last time we really asked someone to come and pray with us? And I mean to really pray with us. I think that's a wonderful one.
Number 10, we have no role models. This is big. Too many of us know nobody whose life just oozes prayer. We've never met a genuine prayer warrior.
Yeah.
And here's what's been helpful for me in this area, and I know for you too, is if you don't have anybody in your life or in your church right now, listen, this is where reading godly men and women in the past,
biographies
of men and women who were prayer warriors has been so helpful for me and encouraging, convicting, but also encouraging when we read. We need role models in prayer. We need role models in every area of life and ministry, but in prayer in particular, because sadly, we do live in a time where I feel like there's so few living role models of this. And so as pastors, man, if it means reading biography, read biography. The last one here, number 11, is we don't have God-sized goals.
Right. We don't have things in our heart and our mind that we really believe that have to be divinely done. They can't be done by humans. I forgot who it was. Tozer or someone said that 90% of what we do in church today. 100% of what, 90% of what we do in church today, 90% of it could be done without the Holy Spirit. But in the first century church, maybe 10% of what they did could be done without the Holy Spirit. So we tend to rely on ourselves, and we don't tend to take risk and to ask God to do things that seem to be supernatural.
Yeah.
And yet he wants to do those things.
That's right.
When was the last time in your church you could point to something and your folks could and say, only God.
Only God can
only
do that.
God.
Yeah.
Not our wisdom, not our money, not our smarts, not our planning, not our program. Only God could do something like that.
And you know what? When you do, and look for it, because the Lord is alive and he's moving, man, elevate those things. Help your people to see God is moving. He's alive, and we need to seek his face even more than we are.
So 11 reasons church leaders struggle with prayer. Please go to our show notes. Take a look at these. Maybe copy them out, pass them out to some folks in your church, and use them as a guide even in your own life and as a pastor to help encourage your people in prayer. And thank you for listening to this wonderful podcast of Revitalize and Replant, where we love poodles especially.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.